You don't do the optional part. You're not doing the optional part, you're just ending. Did she give any trip verses or all? Oh, there's only three, okay. Okay. Well set. You see it here? I need to find out if, was he planning on coming up with these kids?
Good morning. I'm going to start a minute early today. My family and I, we just returned from, we had vacation last week, and we went to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And that was a pretty good experience. Having young kids, it's a good experience for them, but it also gets kind of, it drags on for them, I think, because they don't read as much stuff as we do, but still, it is a... Again, I highly encourage, if you get the opportunity to do those things, to do them. We have sort of a reduced staff today. Josh is preaching in Sherman. Travis is out, but we will be doing communion. If you look in your bulletin there, you'll see the announcements. Cheryl had a knee surgery on July 1st, so she's going to be out of the office for 3 weeks here. You have your contacts there. Your deacon or Tom as head deacon or Andrew Strine if it's more building related as a trustee's issue, if you need to contact anybody. Don will be beginning a series next Sunday, Lessons from a Life Journey from 2 Kings. Sandra will be presenting on her missions in Peru today. If there are any other announcements, be sure to look in there also for what you might be on the schedule for coming up. But if we have any more announcements, we'll take those now. So a trustees meeting after church today? Okay. All right, let's open with a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this time to gather together to worship you and fellowship with one another. Please be with us as we praise you and show you honor, Lord. Thank you for this day, this beautiful sunshine. Please bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
So that you'll know about Anita, she had another CT scan. As a result, they found that she has more abscesses that aren't being drained. So they're going to put more drains in today. So you could pray for her. She's already got 3 drains in her abdomen. This is going to be more. Trying to get all this out. Infectious disease is getting a little more insistent that something get done because infections there, and they're afraid of fungus growing there and other things happening, and it's gone on too long. So they've got another man coming in who's very well known in this area, and they're hoping he'll give the liver group a push to get something done, because it needs to get done so she can heal. So if you just pray about that, there's lots happening. Also, you could pray about my decision whether I continue to go on and get my foot done or not. Plan was still to go ahead with it. This is another ripple in there that I have to think about, because I won't be there when these things take place. So just be praying for us as we go through these things, and there are others here that will pray for too in the process. But I thought I'd catch up now, get that out of the way, so that if you want to ask more questions later, you can. I'll be around here for a little while. So, okay, let's turn to this hymn 78 in the new hymnal. We're using the new hymnal today, 78, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse with Him. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is great and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Okay, we have a couple of scripture readings this morning. Oops. Got too many things up here. We're turning to Psalm 19 for the first reading. Psalm 19. Read Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping of them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Turn our hymn books again to number 86. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 86. That's the new hymnal again.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, peace that endureth, thine
cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. A time when we can give praises and prayer requests. So everybody remembers, what's your sister's name?
Cindy.
I can't hear sometimes. Especially out of one ear, and the other ear I can't hear out of either. But she's in Hammett, you said. Okay. 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 Daryl's been having trouble, numbness and leg problems, and he just needs some answers. And they've done the MRI now. He'll go see the specialist this week, so you could be praying for him. What's that?
He still loves them all.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't quit. So pray for him as he sees a specialist that they'll figure out where what they're going to do and get it done so he can feel better. One of my praises would be that in spite of all that's happening, God has given strength to my wife and courage to continue to go through it. She's very aware that she's better off where she is than having come home early and have to go back. She'd rather stay there and get it all done. But that doesn't make it easy. So she gets a little emotional. She doesn't answer your phone calls. Don't feel like you're being slighted. She's not answering anybody's. She doesn't like to repeat herself. And right now she feels like she does a lot of that, and so she doesn't want to really talk about it. So if she doesn't call you back, just hang in there. I'll either send you a text or somebody else will. One way or the other, you'll get an answer to a question if you send it. I'll be back up there today. And then tomorrow I have to finalize my decision. So far it's finalized that I'm getting it done, but we really don't know. But if we do, God will graciously care for both of us, and we know that to be true. So just pray and rejoice. God gives us life, and our life is only going to get better. I get home to glory. The best is yet to come. I'm not really worried about that end of it.
Remember, Pam gets a lot of her testing stuff done tomorrow for her hip replacement. So we're going to be running all over in the area during the Merit Packers and then get the SD in and that's how I start tomorrow morning. Going here and there throughout most of the day. So keep her in mind. Kind of like living with it, but tighter.
Yep. Well, that's Pam Zarpentine's, in case some of you don't know. Any praises? Any other requests?
Pray for, we have some kids from our church, and our families that are going to camp this coming week.
Yeah, we're sending kids up there. We ought to be praying for them. So that it's a good effect. You can pray for the pianist. She's not feeling good, but she's still here. She wouldn't let me down. She's great. She's still here. So we're thankful for that, and we appreciate that. I'm grateful for the Eggleston family and being able to take part in their reunion. I wished my wife was here, but we are grateful for technology and the ability to use FaceTime to have her talk to everybody and enjoy some fellowship with them. And that was, I think, very precious to her, so we're grateful for that. Anything else that anybody wants to say? Anybody want to preach for 10 minutes? No, just kidding. Sometimes going camping just gives you a chance to relax, even if you're in pain. So you can. Okay, so we'll be praying for Ed. Sometimes you have to pray for the saneness of some men, because we won't go get something done when we should. And so he's one of those who will keep going on and on without doing anything about it unless he gets so he just cannot move. You know, and then he might actually let somebody take him, but you might want to pray that he'll, maybe a little sanity will come back into his head and he'll go and have something done. Okay? So anything else? Let's have a word of prayer then this morning. Gracious Father, you are an amazing God. And as we read the scriptures, as we sing the songs, we just want to thank you for bringing us into your family, making us a part of your life, allowing us to enjoy fellowship with you, to enjoy your love, to participate in what you're doing in this world, to give us even the responsibility and possibility of telling others about Christ and having them come to know you. We, Lord, are thankful for being a part of your family. We pray that as Sandy comes and shares, that we'll get a taste of what goes on in Peru and in other parts of the world as people share Christ, and even here, as we have opportunity to do that, how you change lives. We also are aware, Lord, that as you are in our life, you are aware of everything that's going on. And as we had these requests, we're aware that you know about them already, and yet we bring them before you. Cindy, as she's still having these problems and now is in Hammond and actually being looked at and checked out, we pray that you'll help the doctors in that and help them to stabilize and work with her and resolve that problem. I think of Daryl, and he's been in pain for quite a long time now, and like many men, Lord, still out there trying to do some of the work he likes to do, like mowing lawn, and yet, Lord, pain starts to slow us down, and we need to get it taken care of. Help the doctors, as he sees the specialist this week, to figure out exactly what they can do to help him through this. For Ed and his back pain, as he goes camping, camping sometimes gives us some relief, at least a chance just to relax and enjoy life for a little while. We pray that you'll help that to be a relaxing time, but also that you'd help him to get to those who might be able to resolve that problem in his life and give him back at least less pain and freedom to do the things he loves to do. We pray for those going to camp this week, Lord, and throughout this summer. Camp is a huge ministry, and they have opportunity with many, many children and adults, and we just pray that this week, with the children going from this church, that you would just be working in their lives. Might they grow in Christ, and if they don't know you, might they come to Christ. We pray this would be a profitable week in that way, that you'll be working in these children's lives. Help with the counselors, with their staff. Many times it becomes difficult, and we just pray you'll give them the ability to persevere through these things and to just continue to love on those who are there seeking to grow with you. Lord, I think also of Pam and this problem with her hip, and she's going to get this resolved. They're looking at going to be getting pictures and taking them to the specialist and kind of finalizing what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And just pray that you'll help her as she continues to move about and to get these things taken care of, to give her strength and courage and give the doctors direction. Lord, we could go on and on. Certainly your people are needy people. But our greatest need, Lord, is to grow closer to you. We pray that as we worship you today, as we hear Sandy share, as we sing worship songs, as we take communion, that we might do it in a way that will show that we understand that you love us and that we love you. Help us, Lord, to enjoy you and to enjoy this time with you. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand and sing our worship songs now. We're going to start off. I got to move something here. I guess we have kids coming up to do the... You still coming? Where's Sammy? Sammy's not here? Well, he's supposed to be here. He's a leader. Oh, well. Somebody else will have to lead. Where's Eva? She can do it. Oh, Eva's probably in nursery, too. Oh, Eva, you might want to move up here so I can watch you. Okay, be that way. They're going to continue to try and sign even without Cheryl. This is a testimony to Cheryl's teaching of them and their enjoyment of trying to sing these songs and sign at the same time. So I hope you enjoy it too. Let's sing to the King. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring, and joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. For his returning we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all redeemed, 'cause Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise, sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Up a heart of praise, sing now with voice. Christ is raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Part of the reason we're singing the same songs is because of this. Because they know these songs, so when I pick another one, I have to make sure they know it, as long as Cheryl's not here. So, okay, they know most of them. So we'll change the song. We'll see if I can catch them off guard. Okay, but not today. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. last song, Jesus Loves Me. Not your childhood, Jesus Loves Me, but a nice song. I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame, when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence, I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul, I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars, the rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. You may be seated. It's wonderful singing, you guys. When you're up here leading, it's great to be able to hear a lot of their voices, you know, not just your own. So thank you for singing along. Today we have Sandy Heim, oldest daughter of Claude and Janice, and she's coming up. She's been in Peru for how many years now? 53 years. So just to let you know, she's been there a while. And she's going to share what's going on there, and we're grateful to have her back and enjoying her company as a family. Now we want you to be able to enjoy what she has to share with you.
Okay, is this mic going to work, I guess? You sure I have this on? All these technical things that I'm not an expert at, but we're learning bit by bit. And there we go. I couldn't find a 53, but in March of this year, I did celebrate the 53rd anniversary of the day that Neil and I arrived in Peru as full-time missionaries. We'd each visited before. We had several weeks of short-term ministry experience there, but that arrival began a long-term commitment to ask God to use us as his instruments and to see how he could use our gifts and our training to help to build his church in the city of Lima or wherever else he might lead us in that time. And what I would like to emphasize today is that God has been faithful. One of my favorite songs is John Moore's Find Us Faithful, and it begins, "We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way. Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, there lies a stirring testimony of God's sustaining grace." Now, for you here, for most people, when I show this, this is something new. Whoops. But I do comment that I am so thankful for the heritage of parents who loved the Lord and who served him faithfully. And when Dad was in his 90s, he was still memorizing scripture. He was still studying scripture. And I think the highlight of his day, he wasn't real mobile, but he would still come to church when he could. But the highlight of his day, the last time I was with him, was when someone came to his home to be discipled. As many of you know, my mom suffered from dementia. But if we would sing hymns, she could sing along with us. And I've had the experience of sitting beside her as she prayed for her daughter, who was a missionary in Peru, without knowing that I was her daughter, who was a missionary in Peru. So I think that's part of the challenge here, that the chorus of this song presents us with a tremendous challenge. It says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." But that path to faithfulness begins with recognizing that God is faithful. And in the scripture reading this morning, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And it's been my experience over these years that when we have doubts, when we feel inadequate, when we have no idea what the future may hold or whether we'll be able to adapt to new circumstances, face new challenges, we can trust in his unfailing grace. We know that he's with us. We know that he is the one who does the work, and yet we have the privilege of being the instruments that he uses if we're only willing to let him use us in the way that he wants to. When Nehemiah had to leave Jerusalem to go back to Persia, he looked for men of character to take his place, men whom he could trust. And we read in Nehemiah 7:2 that he based his choice on the fact that the person chosen was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. So in one of the things that I have learned through these years of ministry is that God gives us ministry opportunities, we need to use them and ask him to lead us to men and women who have those qualities, men and women who are faithful, and then be intentional investing in their lives so that we can also leave a heritage, a spiritual heritage of faithfulness. I currently have the privilege of serving in three main areas of ministry. That's the local church, training leaders through our seminary, and ministering to women and families through the New Life Prenatal Center, which is a part of Life and Hope Ministries. My foundational ministry has always been within the local church, although the specific types of ministry have varied over the years. But one of the most effective ministries of New Life Baptist Church in Chacarilla has been the weekly Ladies Bible Study. We began with just one and then two teachers, but gradually we now have seven women who this past year helped out with the teaching responsibilities, so God has grown them in many ways. We do rotate between studying a book of the Bible, emphasizing some aspect of spiritual growth, and studying a book related to marriage or the family. I still teach several weeks out of the year. I serve as a discussion leader for a table group, and I work with the leadership team, but I'm also helping some of the newer teachers, but actually they are doing most of the teaching at this time. And in this time of transition, I have begun to emphasize perhaps even more the ministry of personal discipleship, and it's been kind of the focus for the past few years now that other people are doing a lot of the teaching. I believe that God wants each of us to walk alongside others on their spiritual journey, helping them to hear God's voice, to dig deeply into his word, to speak openly and honestly with him in prayer, and to serve him with a willing and humble heart. Now, some of these women are brand new believers, and they need guidance in those very first steps on their spiritual journey. I've had some who have been believers for several years, but they had never been discipled. Others who've come from a church background where they did not receive good Bible teaching, even though they may have attended a church for a number of years. Maribel accepted the Lord as a child, and as a teenager, she was active in a church where she was encouraged to read her Bible and to grow in her spiritual life. She did marry a believer, but they moved to another part of the city, and the busyness of life, caring for her home and family, being involved in the school her children attended, as well as attending to their family business, gradually took over her days. They often attended church on a Sunday morning, but daily Bible reading and prayer were replaced by helping with homework and relaxing watching TV with her husband in the evenings. God used the death of her father to give her the desire to once again have a close walk with God, and she was able to arrange her work schedule so she could come to Our Lady's Bible study. She also asked to go through our basic discipleship course there at church, and one of the things that we studied about was service, and she really wanted to serve the Lord in some way, and she thought she would like to disciple someone, but who? So we began to pray together, and specifically that God would direct her to a specific individual in whose life she could invest. Now, we take our seasons are opposite, so we have January, February is our summer break. And when we started our classes again in March, she decided that she was going to talk to the ladies in her table group and see if maybe one of them would be interested in being discipled. And to her surprise, five of them said, please disciple me. So she split them into two groups and did work with them. And along the way, one of the ladies realized that she was not even a believer. And Maribel had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. She taught for the first time during COVID, so everything was online. And then she is the one who led us through a study on Ahab. It took 4 weeks to study the life of Rahab, the richness of God's grace, as God used Rahab to provide a refuge for the Israeli spies, a place of safety for her family, and transform Rahab's life. And that was a real challenge for Maribel, who felt that she needed God to really transform her life as well. Just this past year, she began training as a volunteer for Life and Hope Ministries, which is the home of our prenatal center. And she now serves one day a week there as a receptionist and as a hostess. I think sometimes I feel like a proud mama who watches her children try new things. There are many days when I cry with them over their failures, over the bumps and bruises that they're experiencing in life. Many days when we get on our knees together and ask God for guidance, but there are also many days when we can rejoice together as they experience God's grace and enabling and try to step out for many new adventures. I've also had the privilege of training several of these women in the use of our evangelism and discipleship materials that we've using. Several of the ladies stayed after the Bible study for an additional hour each week to learn how to use the story of hope. It's a chronological Bible study. It takes us through 20 events from the Old Testament, 20 events from the New Testament, and basically gives a panoramic view of the Bible's big redemptive story. One of these ladies was medium. As a child, she had heard a little bit about the gospel in her small mountain town. But as an adult in Lima, in the midst of a family crisis, she looked for an evangelical church. She made a profession of faith, but she received very little teaching and had almost no knowledge of God's word. So a few years later, she began to attend our church, attend the ladies' Bible study, and when we offered the training in discipleship and evangelism, she studied our basic discipleship course with Elsa, the lady in the center here, and then decided that she wanted to learn how to share her faith with others. So she went through the Story of Hope series, and when we finished that, we also went on to material called Way to Joy, which is a discipleship program. And along the way, as we discussed the meaning of baptism in the Way to Joy class, she decided that she wanted to take that step. She and her two teenage children were able to take that step together. I'm happy to say that her husband has since accepted the Lord, and he's right now being discipled by a man from our church there. But Medium helps with a feeding program in the area of Lima where she lives. They have children come in and feed them. And there was a policeman who was a believer at that station. And so she asked him if she could come and teach a class to the children. You probably couldn't do that here in the U.S., But when they offered the kids the food that they were giving them, she was also able to, she got a set of Bible visuals and she began to teach the children. But then the policeman said, you know, the mothers really need this a lot more than the kids do. Could you please teach the mothers? So she and two other ladies from the church, Margarita and Judy, began to teach the story of hope to these ladies. And most of them, it was the first time that they had ever heard the gospel. Then for another area of ministry, basically teaching at our seminary in Lima is another opportunity to train leaders. And the seminary recently celebrated its 40th anniversary. Neil was basically the founder of our seminary, and before his death in 2011, his ministry had begun to focus more and more on training leaders for the developing national church. But their students can work toward a one-year discipleship certificate, then we offer a three-year diploma in pastoral studies, biblical counseling, Christian education, and biblical studies. And then with two additional years of study, the student can receive what would be the equivalent of a bachelor's degree. Most bachelor's degree in Peru are five-year programs, not four like you would have here. Now, part of Neil's vision had been to offer online classes, and under the leadership of John Stone, who's now the rector of the seminary, they had begun to offer just a master's program online. That was the first program they offered, expository preaching and biblical counseling. And they were talking about the possibility of offering some of the undergrad courses in that way. When, in March of 2020, in Peru, as in most of the world, everything went online all of a sudden. We taught 1 week in person, and then we had to do everything online. And it was a challenge for me, but I really understand and know that God used my own experience as an online student after 50 years. 50 years after I finished my bachelor's degree, I went back to do my master's. And that was a learning curve, but it was online. And so I'd recently had that experience of being a student, knowing the things that were helpful to me and the way the teachers interacted. And I just think that God used that because it was helpful. As I needed to adapt courses, find new ways to involve students in the learning process. It also helped me to understand the challenges that they face and how confusing technology can be sometimes if you're not up to date on all of that. So God does prepare us in interesting ways sometimes. Right now, we're teaching all of our classes online, and a few of them are also offered in person. But part of our job is to train others who will take our place. This semester, two of my former students are teaching the Women's Ministries course that I would normally teach this semester. Both of them are pastors' wives, but they were formerly students of mine. Some of the students that take this course are already pastors' wives or have been in other type of ministry for several years. So we find, especially in this course, that they have a lot to contribute to the discussion. They're able to share their experiences. They have a lot of creative ideas that others can use. So it's not like just dictating something, but we really are able to have a lot of interaction in that forum. Just to introduce you to a few of our other students, Ruben graduated with his master's degree in expository preaching. He's now teaching at our seminary, and he's working on his doctorate from a seminary here in the U.S. He has professional experience in information technology, so he's our research person for teachers or for students who don't know how to work with the Moodle program, or we get stuck, then we call him. But it's good to have him on. But not only that, his home church recently commissioned him and his wife, Yuli, to begin a daughter church in another area of Lima. When Lucho and Rosa graduated from seminary, he worked as the assistant pastor alongside Neil in Chacarilla for several years before they were sent from our church to start a daughter church in an area called Chorrillos. They have had an especially significant ministry of working with hurting couples whose marriages were broken, and they found that the courses that they studied, they each have been working on a master's degree in biblical counseling, and they felt that was really helpful in their ministry. Many of our graduates are serving the Lord as missionaries in other parts of Peru. Becky has worked in Chinchil, which is a little village high in the Andes Mountains. She works with women and children there. Roberto and Sarela and their family work in children's ministries in the jungle city of Tarapoto. They do evangelistic events in parks. They partner with local churches for special events and also train others to evangelize and to disciple children within their own local church. We have graduates who are missionaries in many other countries, including Mozambique, where Victor and Gildeni serve, in Spain, India, Bangladesh, the Ivory Coast, and even some here in the USA. In February of 2022, the New Life Prenatal Center celebrated its 23rd anniversary, and we did that by celebrating the introducing what we now call Life and Hope Ministries. It's kind of an umbrella organization, which includes the prenatal center itself, which is what we began with, but also the Life and Hope Biblical Counseling Center and New Life Publications. Over the years, the counseling ministry at the center has expanded. We started with basically just counseling women in a crisis pregnancy or perhaps post-abortion trauma. But early on, we began offering counseling, say, premarital counseling, marital counseling, family counseling, things in those areas. During the pandemic, we couldn't have any in-person services, so people were counseled on the phone or through Zoom. But many of those calls, people were suffering from things like anxiety or depression or eating disorders and things like that. So it basically kind of expanded the type of counseling ministries that were offered. One thing that advantage that we have found now is that the Biblical Counseling Center works in conjunction with the seminary, so that the students in the counseling program, as they are training, they're now able to do supervised practices there, gain experiences in many areas of counseling. The main counselor can ask a client, this person is training to be a counselor, would it be okay with you if they sit in, and that so that they can learn? And we do that with their permission, but we have found that to be some of the students would just take classes but didn't have much opportunity to practice. And this way they can have a supervised practice and afterwards talk with the experienced counselor and see how they can improve their own ministries. We do, as I say, one area that I've been most involved in is what would be the equivalent here of a crisis pregnancy center. And we have many women who come, they can get some medical assistance there. Everyone that works there is a volunteer, but we do have some medical personnel that come in for 4 hours a week, maybe. At this point, we have a pediatrician. We can offer them sonograms. We can offer, we have an obstetrician, but it varies sometimes. We also have a dentist. We have two dentists, actually, one who will work on the children and one who will work on the moms. So that's something that they can do and have a ministry using their profession in that way. But our goal is not only that a woman may come to know Christ, that she may decide to allow her baby to live, but we also have as part of our goal that she would become an active part of a Bible-believing church, that she could grow to the point where she is able to use her experiences to help others. Another exciting development, which we had, again, during this time of COVID, is the use of what we call their Bright Course videos. If you're familiar with crisis pregnancies here in the U.S., they often use them. We now have, in Spanish, 100 different videos available, either prenatal or childbearing up to the age of 2, pretty much. I think we have 12 that are specifically focused towards dads. But now they can actually see these online, and then after that, when they've already, that helps to free up our office space, they can come and see that at the center, but they can access these things from home. And then we set up regular counseling appointments to discuss what they're learning. It gives us the opportunity to present the gospel to those who are unsaved, to offer to disciple those who have already made a decision for Christ, and it's kind of an entry that we can ask questions about whatever they saw on the video. Marlene Talledo was once a client herself, and she's now the director of our prenatal center. She heads up the training program for the volunteers. One of the courses that all our volunteers have to take is self-confrontation. And that's an in-depth discipleship course. It basically teaches you how to study the scriptures to find answers for life's problems and then how to apply what you have learned to your daily life. And there's a lot. It's about this book, this thick. But it's almost all, I'd say 80%, just looking up scripture and finding answers from scripture. But Marlene is also the co-author of the newest course that we're offering, La Verdad del Aborto, The Truth About Abortion. We found that most of the resources that we had, even if they were had been translated into Spanish, they used statistics and focus and things from the U.S. And so the main effort in working through this book and this study course is to not only study the topic of abortion from a biblical perspective, but to include up-to-date statistics and information focusing on Latin America, focusing on information not from the U.S., but from Latin America. And I think it would be useful for anyone, even here in the U.S., they often have Hispanic clients who may not or work with Hispanic people, and so it could be a useful tool here in the U.S. I do serve on the board. Sometimes I work as a receptionist, sometimes as a counselor, but my main ministry at the center has been that of training volunteers. Vanessa had taken several courses at our seminary, but she was training as a volunteer at the center, and she was able to go through the Story of Hope evangelism class there. That material is designed for one-on-one evangelistic Bible studies, but it can be used in small groups. I know people that have used it as a Sunday school class material. But one student commented to me as we were going through this, she was familiar with most of these Bible stories. But before it had kind of been like trying to put a puzzle together without having the picture on the lid of the box, that after going through this course, she could see how all the pieces fit together and how it really made one big story. That Story of Hope finishes with what we call the Chrono Bridge to Life. It's a summary of eight essential areas of truth that we've learned as we go through the Bible. But anyone who understands and accepts those truths by faith, we liken that to crossing a bridge from spiritual death to eternal life. In the training course for the discipleship material, The Way to Joy, we most times, I think, when anybody goes through a discipleship program, you include things like teaching them how to read the Bible, how to pray. But one of the emphases that we have is helping them learn how to share the story of their own faith journey in an understandable way. One example would be we live in a Catholic culture, and I've heard people, and I've heard it here in the U.S. too, they say, "Have you received Christ?" And someone who's Catholic and goes to Mass, of course I receive Christ every week when I go to Mass and take the host. So what we're thinking we're saying and what they understand are two different things. And these are some of the things that we try to work on with them as they kind of think through how they give their testimony, just to be sure that it's clear and that people are understanding what they're saying. We also memorize verses related to each of these topics. We share what God is teaching us in our daily walk, and we pray for one another. And one of the focuses during this training time is to ask God that each of us lead us to a specific woman whom we can encourage in her spiritual journey. We do have a one-man counselor who comes every week now, and we have another who counsels online. And we have three pastors who are sort of on call. If we need somebody, we can call them in for help. But the majority of our ministry is with women. We could use some more men, but they do have that, but it's in a much more limited aspect. I also teach some classes related to marriage and the family, not just for volunteers, but that includes clients. Volunteers are just other people from local area churches who would like to come in and be on that. The first one I did was sort of the Christian family, Christian home course that I teach at seminary and adapted that. But I really feel like since the family is the basis for society, that our world is suffering today because of its ignorance for God's word, the rejection of biblical principles for marriage and the family, and this is an important area that we need to address. That second verse of Find Us Faithful says, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed down through godly lives. And just to kind of think today, perhaps, who has invested spiritually in your life? Sometimes we don't think about that. And then I wonder, have you ever expressed your thanks to that person for their teaching, for their example? Or if you're on the other side, if you've known the Lord for a while and matured in him, are you intentionally investing your life to leave a rich spiritual heritage for at least one other person? I think if you have children, that's the best place to start. And as the last verse of this song says, after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that we discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads us to the road they each must find. Now, that has been my own personal experience. I think God honored the faithfulness of my parents and their investment in our lives because there are six of us, but in those six, we have a pastor, a pastor's wife, a missionary, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and that has been something that God has done just within family. So you don't necessarily have to have a class or something formal, but that's where we begin, although God can use us in other areas. But sort of the challenge I would like to leave today is, it's what I see often. I see people investing time and effort to leave their children the heritage of a good education, a prestigious career, perhaps a genuine, a generous financial heritage. And those are all good things. But often we're not nearly as intentional to leave them the heritage and example of a love for God and for his word, of a heart that seeks to serve others, or of the desire to use their gifts and abilities to contribute to the well-being of the body of Christ. I remember when I started a class with these young women, and basically most of them felt like, I just don't have anything to offer. I'm not prepared. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. What can I do, you know? And basically what we started with was, one of the girls commented, she said, I feel like, and you have that more in any big city, I think, but there are children in Peru that just kind of grow up in the park. They aren't at home. They don't have a home. They live in the park or wherever they can find. And she said, I kind of feel like that spiritually, that, you know, nobody ever helped me or raised me or fed me or any of these things. And so basically our challenge, if you feel like you're on that side, I don't have anything to offer because I've never been taught or trained, then what you need to do is to be humble enough to go to someone that you honor and respect and say, would you be willing to invest in my life? Would you be willing to disciple me, to just walk beside? It's not so much teaching head information as it is walking through life with someone, investing in their life, being an example, helping them just live from day to day the way that God would approve. Since I do work with women, I find Paul's instruction in Titus 2, 3 to 5 to be a helpful pattern to follow, but the same thing can be done by men. He says that the older, mature women should teach the younger women. But I think a lot of people, when they read that, what they think is sitting down and having a formal Bible study of some kind. And I don't think that's the emphasis. I mean, that's part of it. But really, what is needed even more than that is experiencing life together. That we need to be an example of how one can put spiritual truths to practice in their daily living, in their interpersonal relationships. And so if you need someone to do that for you, be willing to go to a more mature Christian and ask for that, if they would build into your life that way. Or if you have grown in the Lord, if you've learned to listen to him through his word, if you've learned to talk with him in prayer and you've experienced his faithfulness in guiding your life, are you willing to take the time and effort necessary to intentionally invest in the life of another person so that they can experience that joy as well? I would say, is the prayer of your heart today, Lord, I want those who come behind me to know and love you. And if so, do I understand that he wants to use my teaching and my example to help to direct them to the one who is forever faithful, to the one who asks us and enables us to be faithful to him? Join me in just a short word of prayer. Lord, you have proved yourself faithful to us, and may we truly reflect your image in this dark and suffering world. May your Holy Spirit work in our lives. Help us to be faithful to you. Amen. I do have prayer cards and a sign-up sheet for a prayer letter in the back, if anyone is interested.
And because she used that song, she kind of wanted us to sing it. So I'm going to lead it, and as you find it familiar, you join in with me and sing, "Find Us Faithful." We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, oh, may fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Man who comes, we'll have communion now too. and faithful and other things like that, we will eventually go to a passage we know and use all the time in Matthew, but there's verses that I think reflect on our commitment to the Lord and why we have that commitment. And the verse that came to my mind was from Galatians chapter 2, or 1, no, 2, in verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a reflection of your commitment because of what he did. How do we live? How do we care for each other? How do we love one another as a body? Even when we do communion together, because we love each other, we can do this together. We can reflect to the rest of the world that we're his disciples by our love one for another. But that takes a commitment to Christ. It takes a commitment to live for him and not for ourselves. And then let him take care of you. Much better way to handle it. So as we come to the time of communion, that's sort of the background to me for living for it. And so he has one man who is betrayer, and after he leaves, he says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and then when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, hey, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Then he reminds us, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That first part, the reminder of what he was willing to pay to come to earth as a human being, to suffer and die on a cross, to carry our sins, so that he could take care of our burden of sin so we wouldn't have to carry it anymore. And in the process, asking us then if we believe to live for him, to give us in our lives. So as we think of that part, we want to think about that and pray about that. Jesus, we're just thankful for your love. We're thankful that your Father and you and the Holy Spirit saw fit to desire to save men and women, to bring them into your family, and to pay the price that needed to be paid to do that. Come as a man to suffer, to go to the cross, to shed your blood, to carry our sin, to be separated temporarily from your Father because of the sin that you were dying for. And yet you rose again and gave us life. So as we come to partake of the bread, the reminder of the flesh that was broken for us, help us to once again commit ourselves to living for you. We just pray that you help us to do that as we think through this today. In Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Much as we talk about the blood, you gotta remember that that is what cleanses you from your sin. You shed his blood so that all your sin can be cleansed from all your sin. You have freedom to leave it behind and live for him. And carry the guilt or the weight of it, but be free. And so as we think of that, that just gives us even more opportunity to give up ourselves and say, I'm gonna live for you. I want my life to be for you. All the encumbrances are gone. I just know what to do. Gracious Father, thank you for such love. To know that love is so incredible, and we want to know it better and better. Even as Paul has said in the Word that he would pray for us that we might know the height and breadth and depth and length of your love. And we pray that you'll help us to understand more and more. And to just want to give more of ourselves to you in whichever way you would move us. Whether to talk to somebody, go to somebody, visit someone sick, to teach, to serve, in whatever way. But we would most of all just desire to go close to you and worship with you with our lives. Help us as we do this today to honor you as we remember the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it all." Then, as they stood up, they sung a hymn. So we're going to stand up and sing, "Thank you, Lord."